Last week, we were looking at the Spirit-filled wife. So here we are, the Spirit-filled husband. I didn't have notes last week, amen, because I wasn't going to go that in depth with the wives. But if you were to look at what Paul said about the wives, and then you look at this, this is only a portion of it. We haven't covered it all. We cannot today. Do I intend to cover all of this today. I'm just going to cover verse 25. That's all we're going to do today, which says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. The Spirit-filled husband will have the heart of Christ towards his wife. The Spirit-filled husband will have the heart of Christ towards his wife. Why? Because the Spirit is from Christ. Christ said the Father sent him and he sent the Spirit. So to be filled with the Spirit of God is to be influenced and guided by God towards our bride, towards our wife, right? Paul goes on and says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That's where you and I are headed. Hello? But that she should be holy and without blemish. Husbands, love your wives. Remember what Paul said to the wives? Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Now, Paul never commands us to do what the Spirit of God has not made provision for us to do. No writer in the Scripture tells us to do what the Spirit of God has not made provision for us to do. Why? Because God, by the power of the very giving of his word, power is released for us to obey and to fulfill what he's commanded us to do. For the Christian husband, loving his wife cannot be properly understood or practiced apart from being loved by Christ. Does that make sense? For the Christian husband, loving his wife cannot be properly understood and or practiced apart from being loved by Christ. For to be in Christ is to be loved by him. Amen. To be in Christ is the very definition of what it means to be loved by him. God, the Father, has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The love of Christ is the foundation for Christian marriage. Amen. Amen. All right. The love of Christ is the foundation for Christian marriage. We're not talking about worldly marriage. We're talking about Christian marriage. The submission of the wife to her husband is based upon his love for her as Christ loved and gave himself for the church. That's what Paul tells us when he tells the wife to be submitted to her husband just as she would be to the Lord. So, brethren, our love for our wives is based upon Christ's love for us. And so when we consider that, you say to yourself, I often say to myself, I've heard this in my own spirit before. Have I ever yelled at you? No. Have I ever belittled you? No. Have I ever verbally abused you? No. Good. Then don't do that to your wife. Hello? Isn't that what Paul is saying here? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Well, who's the church? Fellas, we are. Husbands, we're the church. How does Christ love me? Has he ever done me wrong? No. Has he ever left me? No. Well, then you don't do that to your wife. It's so simple. It's not deep spiritual. You got to go on a 30-day fast to comprehend all the wonders to get the mind of God toward marriage. No, it's very simple. Paul told us to love our wives as Christ has loved us. And oh, what a love. Oh, what a love. Listen, have you ever gone to him and said, forgive me? And he said, no. Woo! Oh, have you ever gone to him and he conditioned it and said, you know, I done had about enough of this. Has God ever said that? No, he's never said that. You know? But, okay, so Christian husband, I'm talking to myself first because the husband must be first partaker of the fruit. Amen. For this get to you, it had to come through. Look here. And this thing's all up in me because because of the command by the Spirit of God for us, for me to love my wife the way Christ is currently and has always been loving me. Christ's love for his own is demonstrated in sacrifice. You know how I like to do things. I like to take a part of scripture and just break it down. And every time I went to go look at love, just love, I was going to concentrate on love without concentrating on where it says he loved the church and gave himself for it. But every time I saw love in the scriptures, close behind it was the sacrifice. So wherever you see love, you see this motif in the scripture that Christ's love for his own is demonstrated in sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave. You cannot love someone without sacrificing for them. You can't do it. I'm saying you cannot do it. Because in scripture, we see it over and over and over again that if you love someone long enough, the circumstance is going to come about where you are going to have to deny yourself in order to be a blessing, in order to love them. Period. That's the way life is. Right. And so Christ was the first one. God, before the foundation of the world, loved us and slayed the Lamb of God. Before the foundation of the world, he chose us because of his love. Christ loved us and was sacrificed for us by being made in our image. In so doing, he identified with our weaknesses. So let me tie this in. Bring it around so we can see it as it is applied to the husband. In Hebrews chapter 4 and 15, we see about Christ, the scripture says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. We don't have a high priest who is so high that he says, I'm not coming down there. No. I'm the high priest. Do you know who I am? No. No, the writer of Hebrews says, no, we do not have a high priest who cannot, who shied away from it. Remember the man on the Jericho road who fell amongst thieves. When a priest came down along that way, he crossed on the other side. When a Levite came down that way, he crossed on the other side. Looked at him and said, mm-mm. But it was a Samaritan who came by and identified. When he looked at that man beat up, he probably saw himself beat up. Said, I'm going to take care of this man. I'm going to take care of this man. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And so here we see Christ, Philippians chapter 2, says that he didn't think it robbery to be equal with God, but he humbled himself and became as a servant. Now, Jesus is God. What if Jesus would say, Father? Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Well, there's no contention in the Godhead. That would never happen. But what if our high priest said, no, I'm not willing to do that. No, but this high priest came and identified with our weaknesses. In Romans chapter 8 and 26, the scripture says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to. What I find interesting about both of these scriptures is that in the context of weakness, it's talking about prayer, because verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 4, I just quoted not too long ago, which says, let us come boldly, therefore, to the throne of grace to find grace and mercy to help in the time of need. It's talking about coming to God. And both of these, and Romans 26, talks about praying. We don't know how to pray as we ought to, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession. Why don't we know how to pray as we ought to? Because of our weaknesses. Because of our weaknesses. Well, look at this. 1 Peter chapter 3. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Dwell with who? Your wives. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Giving honor to the wife. So how are we to love our wives? Well, just like Christ identified with our weaknesses, our high priest came and he was made like us, as in all points he was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Paul tells us, or Peter rather tells us, that we are to dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife. Why? As to the weaker vessel. Weaker how? Well, we know weaker physically, right? Women are weaker than men, and that's by the design of God. That's why transgender, what is it, women? No. Competing with biological women? No, it won't work because still a man, right? Okay. I'm not hating. I'm just saying science proves that. Right. As to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So the instruction to the husband is to identify, is to understand that your wife is weaker. Is weaker. Be it physically, be emotionally different. I'm not going to say weaker emotionally. Emotionally different. Well, in the world, we understand this, that weaker people, in this current world we live in, weaker people are taken advantage of. Hello? Very much so. Be it uneducated people, disabled people, women, minorities, mentally ill, economically disadvantaged people are taken advantage of, but not so in the kingdom, because though the wife is weaker, Peter, by the Spirit of God, instructed the husband to honor the wife. In other words, we don't beat down the weaker. We lift up the weaker. Hello? And he said, why? Because both have been made by God. Both have been made by God. Our prayers will be hindered if we mistreat our wives, husbands. And also, let me say, the husband must realize that his wife is the weaker vessel, which means he is the weak vessel. If she's weaker, then that means you weak. Amen. So for all those men who want to go, I'm a man, all of this, I say, man, pipe down, sit down, shut up. Be quiet, you weak thing, you. No. If she's weaker, then it means we're weak and that we all need God. We all need to run to him. Amen. And so Christ didn't sit. He left his high throne. He left glory and was made, came in the image, came in human flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Why? Because we were weak, and he came to rescue us. He came to deliver us, and he identified with us in our own nature. Right? The weakness continues. Listen, Romans chapter 5, Paul says, for when we were still without strength, or when we were weak, when we were still without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love. And here's the pattern again. He demonstrates his love toward us, his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. So where you see love, you see sacrifice not far behind. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And if we truly love one another, and to get to the point of what Paul is saying, when he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, ultimately, what he is talking about is sacrifice, sacrificial love. That's different than worldly love, right? We're talking about sacrificial love. Now, I'm not going to keep you today long, because I see, as Moses said, we're dividing between the lands of promise and the, you know, you get to, and amen. When you give yourself to worship, I've always said to myself, I don't think, you know, I've been doing this, been around the church for a while, over 30 years. And we have the worship service first. This ain't in the notes. I'm just going up and to share something. But we have the worship service first, and you give yourself emotionally, passionately, worship the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then we tell people, okay, sit down now. We're going to teach. And what happens? You sit down, and all of a sudden, you're like, oh, yeah. Is it perfect? It's perfect. You've expended yourself, and all of a sudden, man, you find, And I was the elder in the church, sat on front row, eyes crossed. I thought, pastor must be looking at me saying, this is my elder. You ready to fall asleep on me? Boy, if you don't wait. So I always thought to myself, maybe we ought to do it reverse. Maybe we ought to teach first and then have the worship. And we walk out the door and worship. Amen. But I get it. But I don't want to keep you long. I just want to make a few more points. But this whole God's demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still sinners there corresponds to when we were still without strength up here, right? When we were out strength, Christ died. When we were still sinners, Christ died, right? And so it's his demonstrated love. It's his demonstrated love that causes us to know that there is no love without sacrifice. There is no love without sacrifice. Even in, even on the human side, God said to Abraham in Genesis 22 and 1, he said, Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go offer him on the mountain that I'll show you. Wait a second. God, you gave me a son. I love this boy. I love this boy. But in obedience to God, Abraham was going to sacrifice him. Why? Because Abraham didn't just love Isaac. He loved God. And when you love someone, you will sacrifice for them. Hello? Yes. People ask me when they find out, you know, I don't know, we get talking, I'll be out with customers and different things, and they find out our situation. They say, your wife been gone for how long? 2.5 years. How they working for you? I say, it's working. It's working. Why? Because we've been together for 30 years. We've been together for 30 years. Ain't nothing. 2.5 years ain't nothing. Ain't nothing. And what we have after 30 years is so deep, is so rich. Even though we're apart, I feel like we're closer now than we've ever been. Because every moment we spend communicating, every moment we spend talking means all the more. Means all the more. Why? Because you don't take it for granted. They're not right beside you right now. Hello? That's the way it ought to be now between Christ and his church. That every moment he allows us, we're separated right now. But that should even cause us more to desire, more to seek after, more in longing after him. Amen? All right. So Jesus goes on and he says, here again, we see it in this in John chapter 15, where Jesus said this, greater love hath no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Love and sacrifice. Love and sacrifice. That's what Paul is teaching when he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Jesus goes on and says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So Jesus tells us of his sacrificial love for his disciples, for us, his disciples. Then he calls us to it. I didn't put up there John, two verses later, John 15:17, where Jesus said, these things I command you, that you love one another. One another. Then in another place, Jesus tells us, well, let's go to it. John 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you should also love one another. So what is this saying? This is saying sacrificial love goes out to my brethren. Not only do I love Jesus sacrificially, but I love my brother sacrificially. So when Jesus said, you know, a man had a friend come to him in the night and he was already in the bed with his family. And the man said, I got a friend has come over. Give me 2 loaves of bread. And the man said, no, my family's in bed and everything. And Jesus went on to say, because he won't rise and give him because he's his friend, yet for his importunity, because the man keeps knocking, he's going to rise up and give him as much as he wants. We're to sacrifice for one another. And where do we see that in our lives where we sacrifice for our brethren? Where we sacrifice for our brethren. Oh, believe me, what God commands, he will give us plenty of opportunity to fulfill as situations arise in our lives. Come on. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a grandma right back here sacrificing for her grandson. It's all over the place. If you're in the kingdom, you are called to sacrifice. Hello. If you are in the kingdom, no one escapes it. No one escapes it. Why? Because it's who he is. It's who he is, and that one is living on the inside of you. And Paul is saying that you're going to see it first and foremost, chiefly amongst the husbands with their wives, that you are to give yourself, you are to lay down your life for your wife. But it extends beyond that. Who would lay down their life for their child? It goes beyond that. Who, as we lay down our lives for one another. And John, the same John, we believe, who wrote this gospel, said this in 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For the brethren. You know, and at times, situations will come in your life, someone will call you, someone in the body of Christ. They'll call you, and they will ask you, either not only for something, but to be there for them or to encourage them or to strengthen them. And maybe that person isn't a shining example of a Christian, not that we have one outside of Christ. And yet we're challenged to sacrifice for them. That same person goes to Jesus, and guess what? Jesus will sacrifice readily for them. Hello. The love of Christ is radically different than human love. Radically different. How so? Human love considers itself first and foremost. Hello. Numero uno. And cares about the cost to love someone. Sacrificial or agape love considers the object of his love and gives itself regardless of the cost. Gives itself regardless of the cost. Jesus came and gave himself. The scripture in Romans 8:32, we read, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up. That delivered him is the same word in the Greek where Paul says that husbands are to give themselves for their wives. He gave, as Christ loved the church, and gave himself for it. Same Greek word. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You know, something that really just causes my mind to be overwhelmed is this thought as it hits me every now and again. When God gave us Jesus, he gave us everything. He didn't hold back anything. When Paul says all things are yours, when he says here that he will freely give us all things, it's true. But then, when you look at how oftentimes we don't value Christ according to the way God has valued us by giving us all things in him. And it just beckons and causes the devotion of our heart to, oh God, you've given all for me. Help me to lay down and give all for you. It's what Paul says. That word to give up, or the word to deliver up, means to surrender, to yield up, to give oneself. So husbands are to give themselves. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And here's the motif again, who loved me and he sacrificed himself for me. Who loved me and he gave himself for me. If I love you, I will give myself to you and for you. That if we say we love God, If we say we love God, we will give out, we will sacrifice for him. We will turn off the television. We'll turn off whatever is getting in the way of our relationship with God. Lord, I sacrifice it all, lay it all down. Paul, when he was saved, he left it all. He said, what was gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. He says, I'm a Hebrew. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. And he was high up in his order. He said, in all that, he counted as rubbish that he might win Christ and know him, the fellowship of his sufferings, the power of his resurrection. Paul says, I lay it all down. I cast it all away that I might know Christ. He sacrificed. So when Paul is saying, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, what he's in effect saying is that the one who sacrificed everything for you, who's living on the inside of you, let him now take that example, and as he would then cause you to sacrifice and give all for your wife. Amen. So when we love our wives as Christ loved the church, we die to our desires when necessary. We die to our desires when necessary, that they might live in the fullness of God. When we love our wives, we will be spent for them. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, we see the pattern again. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So when we love, we sacrifice. Perfect example that God gives us examples in the women in our lives of mothers who will do everything for their child. The woman when the war broke out in Ukraine and Putin was sending bombs and they were bombing in the street and they found a woman hunched over her 1-year-old child. The child was alive. The mother was dead because the mother gave herself for her child. I thought to myself, dear God. And they just getting around to putting out an arrest warrant for this war criminal. When we love our wives, we will give whatever it takes to make them whole. I remember years ago, I was reading through the scriptures as we do, come up on Proverbs 31. And I was just casually reading through and I felt in my spirit, pray that over your wife. And I remember for about the space of 2 years praying. It's a certain portion of Proverbs 31. This was years ago where Solomon said this: strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. I prayed that so many times I memorized it, would pray it over my wife every day. It's praying, praying, praying it over her life. Right? All right. What does sacrifice look like? What does it look like? How about prayer for and with your wife? Because when Paul says sacrifice, Christ gave his life for him. I'm not going to come up here and say, well, you're to go die for your wife as Christ died. But we can die daily. We can die daily. To what? Well, to what? Whatever we would find necessary for us to minister life to our wives. And we've already identified one of those, which was when Peter said to the husband, honor your wife. Identify with her weakness. Identify. Let me tell you something that will turn a woman off is a man who understand her, who doesn't want to understand that she's not him. She's not a man. She's a woman. Right? And so Peter said, Husbands, dwell with your wives according to understanding. I remember when my wife and I first got married, she came home from work and I came home from work, and she laid down on the sofa, you know, was taking it easy. I came home from work, looked at her and said, "What you doing? Come on, girl, get up. We're going for a walk. We got to go. Let's go." She looking at me like, "Yay." I'm like, "Come on, girl, let's go. I'm ready to go." You know, I'm all jacked up, you know, got all this. But I was young. I was young, and I was telling my wife, "Come on, get up. Time to go," you know. And I wasn't being sensitive to her need emotionally. She processes work totally different than I process work. And I wasn't sensitive to that. Well, I'm sensitive to that now. Amen. Because God has a way of teaching you. Amen. These things. But was it so, as we close, yes, I'm going to close. As we close, I want to, let me see. Let me read, first of all, as we look at this lesson, a short, brief study, not a study, but just an Old Testament passage. Let me look at what Jesus said to Peter in Luke chapter 22. When Jesus was telling the disciples, "This night, all of you are going to betray me. You're all going to deny me or betray me this night." And Peter said, "Others may leave you, Lord, but I'll die for you." And Jesus said to Peter, he said, "Simon," he said, "Satan has asked for you." You remember Satan came for Judas and got him because he was the son of perdition. Satan actually entered Judas. But Satan came for Peter too. And Jesus said, "Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you." Oh God. And the same one who prayed for Peter is praying for us. How you know you're going to make it? Because Jesus is praying for me. That's how I know I'm going to make it. And that's how I can say to you confidently that you're going to make it. But I know I'm going to make it. And it's not based upon any strength that I have, but it's based upon my Savior who has prayed for me. Hello. And so he told Peter, "Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail." My faith and your faith won't fail because of him. Not because we some deep, super righteous, super saiyan saint. No, it's because of who he is. So let me go to Genesis 25. It's the story of Isaac. Just briefly as we close. We read Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife. The daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban the Syrian. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. So here's a man. Isaac marries Rebekah. She's barren and he's pleading with the Lord. And the Lord granted his plea. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Now, what's interesting about this is that we don't know how long Isaac pleaded with the Lord for Rebekah. Now, I'll tell you how we Americans want it. We go to prayer on the first week. We say, "Father, Lord, open her womb." And that's when it's all done. And people have been walking. They're believing in faith. Go on. It's done. No, it wasn't done. So you come back the next week. The week turns into months. And months turn into years. And then I want to know, is Isaac still praying? Hello? Is Isaac still praying? Well, look at this. Verse 26. Afterward, his brother came out and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. This is what I want to get to. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. He was 40 years old when they got married. He was 60 years old when she had her first set of twins, her first children. That means there's a 20-year gap. 20-year gap. So what does sacrificial love look like? Well, your wife could have a condition that requires 20 years of prayer on your part. That is a sacrifice that love is most willing to give. We don't know what, you know, when you get married, no one says, you know, now when we do marriage counseling, of course, us pastors, we take couples through. I did it just the other few years ago, took a couple. They had all these plans. We want to do this, 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 and we get married. So, well, what happens if when you get married, you find out you can't get pregnant? What happens if all your plans are upside down and thrown every which way? Oh, it does happen. Yes, indeed. What is going to prevail? I'll tell you what's going to prevail. God's love for you and your sacrificial love for one another. That's what has to prevail. Because a man devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Proverbs 16:9. You can make plans. You can devise your way. But let me tell you something. Do you know the chances of your way happening just as you planned it are next to? Thank you. It's next to nothing. It's next to nothing. No. So, you know, what if God calls you to a place like he had Isaac, where you're praying? Perhaps it was 17 years. We don't know how long, but whatever it was a long time, because it was 20 years after they got married that they had their first pregnancy. So, or successful pregnancy at that. But Isaac was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to plead with the Lord for his wife day in and day out until she got what the Lord wanted for her, what she wanted for her, and obviously for the Lord's will to be done throughout the nation of Israel. So I just want to plant those two little seeds, identifying with our wives in their weakness, praying with and for our wives as a means of sacrificial love toward them that obviously doesn't require us dying, literally sacrificing our life. Have some husbands been called to that? Without question. Without question. But what can we do on a practical level, on a practical basis every day? We can identify, we can be gentle, we can love, we can pray and intercede that the will of the Lord would be done in their lives. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your compassion for us. We thank you, O God, that you have called us your bride. And you have sacrificed yourself in order to present us to yourself a glorious church, one without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that we should be holy and without blemish before you. Thank you, O God, for loving us. Thank you, O God, for sacrifice, for laying down your lives. Help us as husbands, men of God, to love our wives. And then, Lord, broader than that, to love the women in our lives sacrificially. Oh, Lord, that your name would be magnified, that your name would be lifted high, that, Lord, your character and your nature would be revealed, oh God, in how we love one another. Help us to sacrificially love our brethren such that the world might know that Jesus Christ indeed lives. Father, we ask these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to your glory. And all God's people said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you.